All right, are you ready? Let's talk about lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." What is a lie anyway? Why do we lie? What are some results? Do we have to lie? In reality, anything that misleads or deceives can be considered a lie. A flat yes or no, I don't know, a silent movement of the body, as in a shrug which conveys uncertainty. Sometimes it may be just remaining silent. If you let someone else take the rap or blame for something you did and remain silent, you have lied. If a person gets put to death for a crime you know they didn't commit and you don't speak up, you become accessory to murder. Of course, none of us are going to do something like that, are we? It's easier than you may think. Let's say you are coming home late and pass the home of someone who has destroyed your life. You see their house is on fire and don't do anything. Just go on home and go to bed. The next morning you see the remains of the house on the news and hear that one person died. No one will ever know if the fire killed them, if they were dead before the fire started, if they committed suicide, or if you killed them. It's so easy, it's scary. I heard that someone who had trashed my life had a life-threatening disease. I knew of something that might save their life. My first impulse was, well, now ain't that just too bad? Then I wrote down the information and sent it to them. If they live, that's great. If they die, their blood won't be on my soul. Why do we lie? The old people used to say, if you lie, you'll steal. I'll bet you can't even remember the first lie you told. I can't. When you were very small, your playmate or sibling may have stomped on your favorite toy. You pushed them and they fell. Your mom only saw you push them. Now they aren't hurt, just mad, and they're screaming. Being the good mom she is, she picks your playmate up, makes sure there is no blood or bones broken, then turns to you and says, now you tell, whatever their name is, you're sorry. I'd guess the odds are 100 to 1, you aren't sorry at all. Your toy is broken, your mom is making over the one who broke your toy, and you are mad. You're mad? You don't say anything. Your mom says, you are going to stand right there until you say you're sorry. After an eternity, which is probably less than 15 seconds, you say, I'm sorry. Your mom doesn't realize it, but she has just given you your first lesson in crime. You have just lied so you can get on with your life. You may say, I'm making a big deal out of nothing. Think about it. Lies are all the same size. Yes is yes, no is no. That's simple, isn't it? It's the result, the amount, the penalty that comes in different sizes. Did you steal the penny? Did you steal the $100 bill? Did you embezzle $20 million? The answers are all the same size. The penalty will likely be quite different in size. People have always lied. In Genesis 4:9, when God asked Cain where Abel was, Cain said in today's language, how should I know? I don't get paid to keep track of my brother. The earth has been cursed by liars from that day to this. You may have heard someone say, cheaters never win. Spiritually, this is true, but in sports, gambling, and other business, cheaters do win. I knew a man one time who could deal any poker hand he wanted to or needed to. I found it hard to believe until he sat down across the table from me and showed me. He might not do it every time, but he could do it often enough to take every dollar you had. Telling a child cheaters never win is misleading. Cheaters do win, but cheating, lying, and stealing are all wrong. Anything gained by these means is a curse rather than a blessing. I believe this is a point to stress. A doctor came upon a wreck. A young mother had hit a concrete abutment. The doctor checked her child, and it was dead. The seatbelt had cut the mother's liver in two, and she was only moments away from death. She came to enough to ask the doctor, "Is my baby okay?" The doctor, not wanting to burden the mother in the last seconds of her life, said, "Your baby is fine." The mother sighed, "Oh, good," and died. No one would ever have known about this if the doctor himself hadn't told me. Was the baby fine? I don't think so. Did the doctor lie? I think so. If the mother had lived, would she have thought her baby was fine? I admit sometimes it gets really hazy or gray and maybe looks like it doesn't matter or will be better for all concerned if we lie. But I like to think if we try, we can answer in a way that will get us through the situation and yet preserve our honesty. Is there any way the doctor could have consoled her and still been truthful? Could he have said, "Let's make sure you are all right first, then I'll take care of the baby after I check you out"? Please don't judge me for judging the doctor, because I'm not judging him. That's God's job. I only use this as a situation to practice on. You may have heard someone say, "It's just a little white lie." I think we've already seen lies are all the same color, and I don't think they're all white. What do you think? When is black white, and when is yes, no? When is wrong right? When I was 13, I worked all summer baling hay. It was hot, dusty, and hard work. I made 35 cents an hour. Just before school started, I went to town. I wanted a wristwatch. I picked out one that really looked sturdy. It had a white face and a radium dial. That's numbers that glow in the dark. Right across the face, in plain black letters, was the word, "Waterproof." $35 was about all I had left after I bought some clothes and replaced the wallet I had lost in the hayfield. I bought the watch, wound it, and put it on. Tick, tick, tick. I was so proud. That was my first watch. Just before school started, I decided to go fishing. I found some minnows trapped in a small pond. I muddied the water and caught some with my hands. I didn't worry about my brand new watch getting wet. It was waterproof, right? The next morning, there was water inside the crystal. I laid it out in the sun, but it didn't help. If I had only known, I could have taken it to a jeweler, and he would have dried it out for a couple of bucks. The watch ran just fine for a few days, then stopped. They made millions of these watches with waterproof on their face, and it was a bold-faced lie. Someone told me the government made them take the word waterproof off. Then they started using the word water resistance, which I think was still misleading. If you're under 21, you may not know. Almost everyone lies about something, and some people lie about almost everything. I don't want to sound paranoid, but if it doesn't say Holy Bible on the cover, you better check it out. Advertisements are often just color-coded lies. Take lifetime guarantees, for instance. Chances are it doesn't mean as long as you live. It may mean as long as you own the object, or as long as you have it serviced every 1,000 miles at a bona fide dealer. It may mean till the company goes bankrupt, which may be tomorrow. Read the fine print. Never take the salesperson's word for it. He may quit before you get home. Before you buy, talk with as many people as you can about the company or the product. I know someone who bought a blender that had a lifetime warranty. In no time, it quit working. They sent it back 3 or 4 times and finally realized they were spending more on postage than it was worth. They trashed the whole thing, lifetime warranty and all, and bought another brand. Psalms 146, verse 3 says, "Put not your trust in princes, neither in the son of man, in whom there is no help." Paraphrased, that might say, put not your trust in guarantees or the people who print them up. Many years ago, they came out with a new car. One salesman was selling these cars by the dozen. He told buyers the car had an unconditional money-back guarantee for 1 year. The car was a bummer, and when people started asking for their money back, the company said, "We don't know he's lying like that. He's gone, and so was their money. Almost everyone will lie to save their marriage, their job, their reputation, or their money. Since we are taught from childhood to lie, it soon becomes a habit and then a disease. The more we lie, the more we believe we can get away with crime. After our kids left home, we started taking kids that needed a temporary home. We took boys and girls. I can honestly say we never had a serious problem with any of them. I mean, like burning the house down or threatening to kill us. One boy came to us who didn't want to do anything but play Pac-Man and lie. He had average intelligence, but it seemed it actually hurt his brain to study or tell the truth. He did improve enough to pass to the next grade. His folks gave him a small allowance, and when we took him with us to buy groceries, he always spent every penny he had. Once, when we had to go to a toy store, he went ape. He didn't have any money, but he had a pocket full of stuff. The store manager and I caught up with him about the same time. Evidently, he had been watching Tom on the camera. He started talking about shoplifting and cops, and I said, "Wait a minute." I gave him my ID and explained Tom had some serious problems, but we were his guardians and were trying to get him on the right track. I assured him we would not leave the store with anything we had not paid for. He took a deep breath and said, "I wish you luck," and went back to doing whatever managers do. Sometime after this episode, we went to town again. Tom had been home for the weekend, so I wasn't surprised when he started buying stuff. He even bought me a candy bar. Then I noticed he was paying for everything with quarters. It seemed a little strange, especially when he still had a handful of quarters after he had purchased a bag full of junk. When we got home, I pulled out the desk drawer where my wife kept four rolls of quarters. There was only one left. I went back out to the car and found two quarters and the wrapper from a roll in the back seat. After worship, I asked Tom if there was anything he would like to talk about. When he said no, I suggested we talk about all those quarters he was spending. "Oh, those," he bubbled, "were the ones I brought from home. I have a piggy bank where I keep all my quarters." I showed Tom the two quarters and the wrapper I had found in the back seat. Tom said, "Those are my quarters, but I don't know where the wrapper came from." I said, "Look, Tom, there were four rolls of quarters right there in the drawer this morning. There is only one now. You have been spending quarters all evening, and I found this wrapper and two quarters where you were sitting. I'm not going to get on your case. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not even going to ask you to pay any of the money back. I just want you to tell me the truth. Did you take the quarters?" Tom looked at me in total disbelief and nodded his head, "Yes." We shook hands and he went to his room. After Tom went to bed, my wife said, "I can't believe you did that. That kid stole $30 I've been saving. He lies like the devil himself, and all he has to do is nod his head yes, and you let him off the hook." I said, "Honey, this may be the only time in his life he tells the truth. It was worth $30 to hear it. I wish I could tell you he is now a pillar of society, but I can't. All I know is the last time I heard, he was not in jail. That's a small miracle. Trouble comes in many forms. I've never met a kid that really wanted to be bad, but I have met some parents who would make almost any kid bad. I can relate to kids who have problems. Maybe mine were not exactly like theirs, but I had some. When I was about 8, I had saved pennies for months. You heard me. In 1940, it took months to save up 25 pennies. Finally, I had enough to buy a cap gun. When we went to town, I went into the general store, and when my folks weren't looking, I bought a cap gun for 25 cents. But I didn't have any caps. Caps were a penny a roll. I didn't have another penny. The kind-hearted man gave me one roll of caps. I stuck it in my pocket and hid it when I got home. When no one was looking, I would take the gun out in the woods or down the creek and shoot it a couple of times. It was great fun, and I love the smell of powder. Like I said, I only shot it once in a while because I only had one roll of caps, and I didn't have another penny to buy another roll. One day my brother was with me, and I showed him my gun. Pow! Pow! I knew better, but I just had to share my joy. That evening my dad said, "Bring me your gun." I asked, "What gun?" He said, "Your cap gun. You know, we don't approve of having guns." But I said, "It's not a real gun, Dad. It's just a cap gun. Anyway, how do you know I have a gun?" He said, "Your brother told me you had one." I knew it already, and there was no need to lie. I brought him the gun. The next time we went to town, Dad and I and the gun went back to the general store. My dad explained the situation, and the owner agreed to trade the gun for something else. Before I could ask what happened, Dad had traded my cap pistol for a serving plate for my mother. I never made an issue of it, but it didn't improve relations between me and my big brother, or Dad, for that matter. Bold-faced lies are one thing. Lies that sneak in the back door and steal your dreams are something else. Like the story John told me. He said when school was out, I went to work for Jake, who had a pony ring. Every day I would walk to the edge of town and help the kids get on and off the ponies. Then at closing time, I would take the saddles off, carry the ponies down, make sure they had food and water, then walk home. Jake paid me for a couple of weeks, then said, "John, if you don't have a safe place to keep your money, I'll just save it for you till school starts." I agreed, and when I got the chance, I picked out a bicycle I would be able to buy. Then I looked at some winter coats. I figured up my pay and figured I had enough money to buy both and maybe enough left over to buy a good pocket knife. It was the last weekend of summer. I ran to work, but the pony ring was gone. Jake had taken everything down and was gone. John paused, then continued. I found out where he lived and walked to his house. I asked for my pay. Jake said he didn't have it. I said, "What do you mean you don't have it?" Jake said, "You'll understand when you get older." I said, "I understand already. You lied to me and you stole my money." When I was young, a man told me, "If you let someone else manage your money long enough, you won't have any money to manage." Every time I failed to follow this advice, I lost money. We were always truthful in our house. We taught our kids to always tell the truth. One day one came home crying and said she had gotten into trouble. One of her playmates had done something that didn't amount to a faded rose, but an adult had gotten all freaked out. None of the kids would say anything, but when the adult asked our daughter, she told the truth. She didn't do it, but she said who did. Now her friend was in trouble, and she was crying because she had told the truth. You see, we had not given our daughter the tools to deal with a situation like this. We should have told her there are several ways to tell the truth. Yes, no, I don't know, I don't care to talk about this, or just don't say anything. I have used all these answers, but you will have to decide which one is best for your situation. People can ask you anything they want to, but you have the right to answer any way you or remain silent. Silence does not prove guilt or innocence, but if remaining silent contributes to injustice, you must consider another option. Just the other day, I was talking with a man about 78 years old. He said he was looking for a wife. I asked if he had lost his wife. He told me he had been married for 40 years, and one day he came home and she was gone, and so was about $500,000. He said, "I had more money, but what really hurt was she didn't even say goodbye or tell me why she was leaving." Love lies hurt more than any other kind, and you can never know for sure what is going on in someone else's head. Everyone is entitled to 3 mistakes, 1 in money, 1 in love, and 1 of their choice. Think about it. It takes about 12 years to recover from a bad financial mistake. It takes about 12 years to recover from a bad marriage. It will take about 12 years to recover from the 3rd serious mistake. That's 36 years. If you get married at 25 plus 36, that equals 61. At 61, your life is pretty well spent. One day, a lady called and asked if we could take her 14-year-old Carrie. We knew them casually, but had no idea their marriage was in such a mess. He was a drunk. She suspected him of molesting one of her daughters, and they were about to be evicted. We said, sure, bring her on over. We met them in the yard. When Carrie got out, we gave her a big hug, took her stuff in the house, and her mother left. We took her to her room. There was nothing in the room that belonged to us except the furniture. After she got settled, she stayed in her room until we called her for dinner. She didn't say much unless we asked a question. I had trouble figuring out where she was. I mean, when people don't talk, you just have to guess, and that's never safe, so we just accepted her like she was. After dinner, we told her the rules of the house. Number one, this is your home. Use anything you need, anytime you need it. Number two, don't do anything here you would not want us to do if we lived in your house. Number three, if you're not sure, just ask. Carrie didn't have all her baggage in her suitcase, but she never caused any trouble. She did her homework and stayed out of trouble. We are always ready to listen, but we never try to force anyone to talk about their problems. Even though Carrie was going through the motions, we knew she was hurting. We just had to give her time and space and make sure we didn't add to her problems. We told her if she passed, we would take her to Six Flags. She passed, and we took her. One afternoon, I laid a 6-inch utility knife with a blade exposed on the walnut console. The console was a combination radio, record player, and storage cabinet. We kept it in the dining room where it would be easy to turn on and off, and it was handy to lay books and mail on. Something said, put the knife up, it might cut something. Do you ever hear voices? I said, that's crazy. It's not going to cut anything. Anyway, I didn't want to make a special trip to the tool shed. I never gave it another thought. Later that evening, I noticed a 1/4-inch notch in the top of the console. The knife was where I had laid it. The blade was still extended, and there was a piece of wood on the floor about the size of a notch in the walnut top. I picked it up and just sat there thinking, I didn't do that. My wife does some interesting things sometimes, but she never carves up the furniture. Carrie is the only other person who had been in the house. It had to be Carrie. About that time, Carrie came into the kitchen to get something. I said, hi, could we visit a minute? She came over, but when she saw the knife in one hand and the wood chip in the other, she froze. I could not prove she did it. If I asked, she might lie about it. I did not want to make her lie. I spoke her name very softly. Carrie, I said, nothing in this world is free. If someone gives you food, someone has planted it, picked it, transported it. Even if the government or the state or a neighbor gives it to you, someone has paid for it. If someone gives you a pencil or a sweater or anything, someone who has worked to make, grow, or buy it. When we got married, we had nothing. We wanted a record player. It took us 2 years to save up $99.95 to buy this record player. It's over 20 years old and still works. We have moved it a dozen times and never put a scratch on it. I laid the knife and chip on the console and got up. Now we were standing face to face, and she showed no emotion, none. I said, Carrie, I'm not concerned about the console. I'm concerned about you. It's all right. It's really all right. Good night. 20 years later, a woman came up to me and introduced her husband. Then she asked, do you remember me? I said, give me a clue. She said, I've always wanted to tell you. You and your wife were the only ones who loved me when I hated everybody. I'm Carrie. The console is gone, but I still cherish that notch. That's when someone had to cut something, and they cut that notch instead of themselves. That's when a little girl and an old man learned that people are more important than furniture. Lies and happiness make an opposing graph. They both start out at the same point, but as the lies increase, the happiness decreases. I hate to present a problem and not have at least one possible solution. I was a habitual liar and a kleptomaniac. That's the same as a person who has to steal. It's a disease. It's a compulsion. I was about as miserable as people get. I never stole anything really big. I was what they call a petty thief, but theft is like lies. They are all wrong. Only the amount of the theft and the penalty come in different sizes. If you have this problem, face it before it destroys you. Get someone to go with you shopping. Stay with him. You don't have to tell them your problem. Just have someone near will strengthen you. Number one, you have to admit you have a problem and realize it will take every ounce of determination you have and a miracle to break these chains. I know people who have tried to be a Christian for 20 or 30 years and are still in bondage to these habits. Number two, if you go to a buffet, don't take anything out that isn't in your stomach. If you can't afford meat for your dog, get rid of the dog. Number three, if there are two items of clothing on the rack and two price tags on the floor and you want to buy one, take it all to the clerk. Let him or her make the call. Number four, if you think you've been overcharged, you scream. If you think you've been undercharged, you should scream. I went to a large store, made a 70-cent purchase, and gave the clerk a dollar bill. She gave me back $99.30. Now, with the economy like it is, we can all use an extra $99. My first thought was, get out of here quick. Then I thought, that's stealing. I counted the change again, and the clerk asked, is there a problem? I asked, what did I give you? She opened the drawer and said, this $100 bill. I looked in my wallet, and sure enough, my $100 bill was gone. If I had walked out thinking the clerk had given me $99 too much, even though she hadn't, it would have been just as wrong as stealing it. If you break something by accident, don't lie about it. If you have to pay for it, so be it. If you don't report it, you'll be paying for it as long as you live. Be careful. The first three rules to help you stop lying are, shut up, shut up, shut up. In that order. Why do you think Jesus said in Proverbs 10:19, in a multitude of words there lacketh not sin? If you are not going to climb Mount Everest, swim the English Channel, or burn the courthouse down, don't tell anyone you're going to. If you're lying to make people think you're somebody, forget it. Liars are all nobodies, just zeros, looking for a one to get behind. Now for some really good news. You can change. It will take time for people to trust you, but you will be happy the second you decide to always be honest. Use the tools we've shared, especially silence, and I don't care to talk about it. If you want to be somebody, be honest. Thanks for listening, and God bless you too.